I've been struck that over the past day or so that there's been considerable consensus at this meeting about what we need to do. But we came not to talk, but to act. We came not to blame, but to find solutions. Over the past week or so, we've put together at least $2.7 billion for the most vulnerable. We've heard yesterday and today of suggestions of other amounts. And this should just be the start, because we need action, resources, and results in real time. Here in Rome, but also at the TCAD conference in Yokohama last week, leader after African leader has said that high food and energy prices are putting their reforms, their growth strategies, and most importantly, their people at very grave risk. They are asking the same question: what can be done now? Not next month, not in a year, but now. Riots in over 30 countries, 30 million Africans who likely will fall into poverty, 100 million people worldwide who are at risk, 850 million people who are malnourished, 2 billion people who are struggling every day to put food on the table. If we cannot act now, when? This is not a natural catastrophe. It's man-made, and it can be fixed by us. It doesn't take complex research. We know what has to be done. Our task is twofold: to handle today's danger for millions of people for whom securing food has become a daily struggle, and then to turn high food prices into an opportunity for developing world agriculture and for farmers in developing countries. I believe we can do both. For the first challenge, I propose that this meeting commit to helping the 20 most vulnerable countries in the coming weeks, working with WFP, with FAO, with EFAD, and the regional development banks, with support from bilateral financial donors. We need to undertake this work by the time of the Group of Eight meeting in July, and then we need to go on and do more. The agencies and governments at the meeting should also commit to getting seeds and fertilizer to smallholder farmers in the coming planting months. This can make the difference between food or hunger at the next harvest time. And countries must ease their food export bans and restrictions that globally are driving up prices and hurting the poor. Definitely for WFP's humanitarian purchases, and I hope for less developed and fragile countries. If we take just these three actions now, those of us gathered in Rome can make the difference between millions of people having food on the table or going without. The choice is clear. We also must think ahead beyond today's crisis. At the upcoming G8 meeting, we must see progress on addressing the longer-term challenge of doubling global food production over the next 30 years. As I outlined in an article last week, this requires boosting developing country agricultural products and productivity, so developing countries can benefit from the growing demand for food. As part of this longer-term strategy, investment in small farmers, in agribusiness, and in agricultural research could triple yields. New risk management tools can be deployed to protect poor farmers and countries. Easing corn and oilseed-based biofuel subsidies, mandates, and tariffs, and closing the Doha trade round should also be part of these medium and long-term measures. This is the agenda for the G8 meetings of finance ministers in June and the summit in July, and we must continue to drive this agenda forward. But today is Rome, and in Rome, we can and must take action now. Thank you.